Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. The U.S. Supreme Court, they ruled a few years ago that homosexuality is a right and that states cannot pass laws that prohibit homosexual behavior. And that case was condemned by just a handful of conservatives. And WorldNet Daily has an article out today with a fascinating observation that Time Magazine made, of all places. Time Magazine. Time Magazine is admitting that when the U.S. Supreme Court issued their ruling allowing homosexual behavior, the Lawrence v. Texas decision back a few years ago, Time Magazine today is admitting that the critics were right, and because the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the way they did, now this would be used to defend polygamy, incest between adults, and so on. Because the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the government has no right to prohibit private sexual contact between adults. So how about laws against prostitution? How about laws against polygamy? How about laws against incest with adults? And so I'd like to quote to you from this WorldNet Daily column. It's really an excellent, excellent column. And then also we have an update on statements made about Rudy Giuliani by Tom Tancredo, representative from Colorado, and by the House Majority Leader, John Bonner of Ohio, and also then by, Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas, all of whom have weighed in on the issue of Rudy Giuliani, who's radically supportive of child killing, and whether or not conservatives, Republicans, could support somebody like Rudy Giuliani or a pro-abortion candidate. Okay? All right, so first, and then we'll get to your calls, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. All right, first, WorldNet Daily article. When the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a Texas prohibition on homosexual sodomy, leaders, including Senator Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania, warned the decision would be used in support of incest, adultery, and polygamy. And Santorum was severely condemned for his statements. Time Magazine now admits that he was right. And then WorldNet Daily quotes Time Magazine in a recent article. It turns out the critics were right. Plaintiffs have made the decision the centerpiece of attempts to defeat state bans on polygamy in Utah and adoptions by homosexuals in Florida should be the Lawrence v. Texas decision. And in fact, even worse, in Ohio, a man was convicted for having incest with his 22-year-old stepdaughter, and he is challenging that conviction based on the U.S. Supreme Court, the Republican U.S. Supreme Court's ruling, Lawrence v. Texas. All right, in that ruling, two homosexuals, Tyron Garner and John Lawrence, were arrested for violating Texas, their state anti-homosexual law. Homosexual behavior law was prohibited, and rightly so. If the Supreme Court says you have the right to consensual sex within your home, said Rick Santorum, senator from Pennsylvania, then you have the right to bigamy. You have the right to polygamy. You have the right to incest. You have the right to adultery. You have the right to anything, he said. Well, he was a few decades late on the adultery part because that's already taken for granted. So at the time of this decision back 4 years ago, Time Magazine praised it, saying it was a real plus for homosexuals. But now Time Magazine acknowledges, Quote, "It turns out the critics were right. Time's attention has been caught by the legal battles underway to decriminalize incest between consenting adults. In Lawrence v. Texas, the court had ruled that people are entitled to respect for their private lives, and that under the 14th Amendment, the state cannot demean their existence or control their destiny by making their private sexual conduct a crime. If that was true for the adult homosexual behavior in Lawrence, why not for the adult incestuous behavior in the new case?" Time Magazine's article is titled, "Should Incest Be Legal?" I made this argument on Mike Rosen's radio show on KOA 15 years ago, debating a homosexual activist he had on his program. I think I even remember the guy's name, but if I just say his name, I'll get in trouble. The homosexual activist, he had changed his name to Luke Sissyfag. That was his name. And so anyway, I was able to rebut his arguments and pointed out, and even Mike Rosen was agreeing with this homosexual activist, but I pointed out that if what he's saying is true, then polygamy eventually will be acceptable, and incest will be acceptable, and prostitution will be acceptable. So, and Time Magazine's article mentions an incest case in which a brother and sister were prosecuted. And eventually, if it's up to adults to agree on their sexual behavior, then polygamy will be in, prostitution will be in, incest will be in, and how about a business, a restaurant, that wants its waitresses to allow their patrons to grope them? How about that? Oh, that won't happen? Why won't that happen? Because Bill Maher respects women? Why won't that happen? How about a company that hires a sales force to sell, let's say, multi-million dollar equipment to overseas businessmen? And so some sheikh from Saudi Arabia flies in, and he's going to be buying maybe a private jet. And this company wants beautiful young saleswomen who are willing to sleep with the customers. Hey, if it's up to consenting adults to agree to whatever they want to agree to sexually, how many battles are we going to fight as Christians before we realize where we lost, and then we're willing to fight that fight again? Where we lost is when we broke down the boundary of sex only within marriage. And today, our Christian ministries are ashamed of that standard. That's God's standard. And so we did this in Focus on the Strategy, the first edition, the DVD. We quoted Christian leaders and pointed out they think pornography should be legal. They think fornication should be legal. They say it's a sin, but they think adultery should be legal. And they think homosexuality should be legal. We just want to regulate it. What do you want to do, tax it? We just want to regulate it. And so these things are criminal, but the body of Christ has lost its way. It's no longer moored on a moral foundation of God's principles of right and wrong. It's moored on public policy and whatever happens to be legal, what is the process, and political correctness among conservative Republicans. And so Christian leaders no longer know right from wrong. And I remember in 2003 when the Supreme Court overturned the Texas homosexual sodomy law, which was a good law, and Clarence Thomas, he issued a dissent. He did not agree with the majority. And he was praised by our Christian leaders, those who spoke about the ruling. They thanked Clarence Thomas for his dissent. And once again, they misled, they deceived the Christian community. You know why? Because Clarence Thomas dissented not on principle, not because homosexuality destroys the people involved in it. Not for that reason. Clarence Thomas dissented because he thought the process wasn't followed. He said that the law in Texas, the law that upholds Christian morality on sexual behavior, he said that law was inane. That was a fool's law. And that law should be overturned, but we should encourage the state legislature in Texas to overturn it. And so we heard from our Christian leaders that Clarence Thomas was on our side. He voted with us yet again. And that's been a lie every time. It's a lie. But hey, he was their guy. So it's just a little spin control to deceive the public into thinking he's giving us good rulings when he's not. He is godless. As a judge, he is godless. We want judges who fear God and will protect the innocent. Let's go to the phones, first in Los Angeles, then in Denver, Colorado. In L.A., Dave, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Bob, hello from Los Angeles.
Thank you, sir.
Well, to get back to what you're saying before I talk about my topic, I was in the grocery store here in Southern California a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And there was a parent, the mom, and the little kid was about 6 years old, throwing stuff off of the shelves, and the mom just couldn't take it, started screaming at the kid, and the mom had a screaming tantrum, and I waited till it was over, walked up to the mom, and I said, "How dare you judge your kid? You liberals say that there's no absolute right or wrong."
Right.
And the mom said, "Liberal," and I said, "Yeah, the way I know you're a liberal is because it's apparent, it's very obvious you are not spanking your child like you should."
Dave, you have guts.
Oh, it almost turned into a war. I had to.
You have guts. You must be my brother because you must be my mother's son. It's the only one I know in the world who has guts like that is my mother, Connie Sharon.
You got to have fun sometime in life, Bob.
That is great. Okay, what else? What's your topic?
Jesse Jackson, Bob.
Yeah.
The so-called reverend. USA Today sports section out of Atlanta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. The general manager of the Atlanta Braves last Monday met with the Rainbow Push Coalition. The Rainbow Push Coalition wanted to discuss with the general manager of the Atlanta Braves why the Braves have a lack of black players.
Oh, brother.
And I'm thinking, what's next? Is David Duke going to meet with the Denver Nuggets and say, "Hey, we don't have enough white players"?
Well, Jesse Jackson should do that. He should go to the NBA and insist. And I could tell you, this might be the only talk show in the country that can tell you why there are still whites in the NBA.
Okay.
I can tell you why. Because of Margaret Sanger.
You're right.
Because we have slaughtered blacks. About one out of four blacks have been killed in the last 40 years.
That's right.
By Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. And if we had another 10 million blacks with their extraordinary talent, the NBA would be totally black.
That's right.
There would be no more whites in the NBA, and that'd be fine. You know, who's ever the best should make the team.
Absolutely.
Praise the Lord.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, it's because of Margaret Sanger, Jesse Jackson does not have a monopoly on the NBA because of Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood and the Republicans.
Well, Bob, I know you don't have too many supporters out here in weird Los Angeles, but me and Johnny from Compton are behind you 100%.
Johnny from Compton. All right. Hey, Dave, God bless you. Thanks for your call.
God bless.
Let's go to Denver, Colorado. Robin, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, sir. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been listening to your show. Wow, what a powerful show today.
Thank you.
I just wanted to encourage you and your team there to keep up the good work and fighting the good fight. It's because of you that I learned a lot of this stuff about that I was ignorant about abortion.
Wow.
And so I even talked to a guy today at work who thought it should be up to the woman, and I pointed out that why should we, you know, hold the unborn accountable for the sins of their father? And after presenting that with him, to him, he, I could see the light bulb go off in his head, and I learned that from you and your show.
Wow!
And you know what,
Robin, we all learn that from the Bible, because God says in Jeremiah, there's an entire chapter where He says that I am not going to punish a child for the sins of his father.
Right. And you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and so we learn what God thinks about issues, and that should impassion us to teach others. And when we speak with authority, then some people will listen, and then they will consider Jesus Christ.
I agree. And so thanks to you for teaching me that stuff. Even though it's in the Bible, we have to have somebody, it seems a lot of us have to have somebody to clear this stuff up and to kind of bring it to light and out in the open.
Well, a lot of ministries might not want to teach that chapter out of Jeremiah, what is it, Jeremiah 18, because they support candidates and laws that say you can kill the baby if his father's a criminal.
Right.
So
right.
Then there's a chapter. Yeah, so then there's a chapter in the Bible you would shy away from as a Christian talk show host syndicated around the country. You're not going to quote from that chapter because your listeners would say, hey, but wait a minute, you support killing kids whose fathers are criminals, are rapists. So
absolutely.
Anyway, thank you so much, Robin. May
yeah,
God...
And I just one more thing real quick, Bob. I'd like to issue a challenge to any Christians listening. If they could possibly think of a more prudent topic and a more godly topic than the one you talk about, the saving the unborn children. And so I say keep up the good work, and I really appreciate listening to
Robin,
you.
Thank you so much. You're such an encouragement. Boy, I appreciate that.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYAR, 1-800-836-9278. Just a program note, tomorrow I will do a show. I'll be a guest on a show from back east that airs in at least a dozen cities. It's called Truth Talk Live with Stu Epperson. And Stu is one of the most conservative, right-wing Christian talk show hosts I know of. But he's been drifting a bit lately. He's been listening to our own pro-life press releases and believing them, which is a big mistake because we lie to ourselves so that we can justify our immoral strategy. And so he thinks the Gonzales v. Carhart decision was a victory, that it was a good thing. And so Will Duffy here at Bob Inert Live contacted Stu's producer and set it up. Tomorrow on Truth Talk Live, Stu Epperson will interview me on this ruling, and I will do my best to convince him while we are on the air that this is an evil ruling that should not be celebrated and that he's been lied to. Because I'm sure, you know, so many of our pro-life leaders haven't read the ruling, so your typical Christian talk show host is not going to read the ruling. It's 40 pages. People have lives. They're busy. But those who head up Christian pro-life ministries, they really have an obligation to read it. But so do talk show hosts, really, if they're going to weigh in on it. At any rate, Lord willing, we will air that live while we're on Stu's show back east at 5 o'clock Eastern Time. We'll be live here in Colorado at 3 o'clock. And did I mention, I may have, but I was so thankful to the crew down at KLTT on our event at the Capitol, Colorado Right to Life's 40 Years in the Wilderness, that they were able to hook up live to Alan Key's speech in the old Supreme Court chambers. And so when Bob Inert Live went on the air that day, they were carrying live the event, the historic event at the Capitol. That was really cool. Okay, now, let's see here. Leaders in government and men who aspire to even greater authority who are saying that pro-choice candidates are really, you know, they're not, you shouldn't dismiss them just because they support killing unborn children. And they could certainly qualify for support from conservatives, for votes from conservative pro-lifers, and even for their party's nomination for president. So this comes out of the Washington Times yesterday. Two leading Republican lawmakers said that former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, that his pro-choice stance on abortion should not disqualify him from becoming their party's presidential nominee or from receiving the support of conservative voters. And read that, Christian. I mentioned this in our DVD, Focus on the Strategy 2, the sequel, that Bill Bennett, his Morning in America radio program, I could hardly listen to that show. A few weeks back, he was urging his listeners to consider supporting Rudy Giuliani for president. And basically, to summarize what he said, if you are a Christian pro-lifer, one of the greatest achievements you could arrive at in your life is to be able to overlook that and stick with the party and support Rudy Giuliani. If you as a pro-life Christian could support a politician who is radically, radically supportive of killing unborn children, even to for years supporting partial birth abortion, if you can support him as a Christian, you have achieved a greater spiritual plane. And that's from America's expert in the Book of Virtues. Which virtue is that, Bill? Which virtue is that? So these comments, according to the Washington Times, these comments of Republican lawmakers who say that Rudy Giuliani should be considered, and he certainly could receive support from conservative and pro-life voters. Who made these comments? Let's see. John Bonner of Ohio. And Representative Tom Tancredo of Colorado, one of Rudy Giuliani's rivals for the nomination for the Republican Party. Tom Tancredo? Now, I'm assuming this is accurate here in the Washington Times. It's reported by Eric Pfeiffer. I have not heard this independently, but it was actually forwarded to me by a Christian activist in Indiana who I know is especially credible. And the Washington Times is generally credible, especially on such issues. And so there are people in the audience I know who follow Tom Tancredo carefully. And so you could perhaps on this show or on a future show or via email get to me at bob@kgov.com, bob@kgov.com. You could confirm this, but Tom Tancredo is saying that Rudy Giuliani should not be disqualified because he supports the killing of unborn children. So I guess if he supported owning blacks or killing Jews, the Republican tent is big enough for skinheads and Nazis, I guess. So, and then Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas, who, you know, so many have asked me over the past few months, how about Brownback? He's a solid 100% pro-lifer. And we've had to say, no, he's a legal positivist. For example, he supported National Right to Life's Fetal Pain Act, which it's wonderful to warn women that your baby will feel pain. It is evil to then offer to solve that problem by mandating that the baby could be given an anesthetic. So that then any law that ends with "and then you could kill the baby" is an evil law. But then, aside from being evil, it's also dastardly because women are always looking for excuses to kill their babies. And so a woman with a late-term pregnancy whose boyfriend left her and she wants an abortion, but she's worried about the baby, and she'll think, well, you know, my baby won't feel pain because he's going to get a painkiller. They'll anesthetize the baby, so I'm going to go ahead and put him out of my misery. We just got a call from Ann from Colorado Springs. Ann, thank you. Ann appreciates the education she's getting from Bob and Yaret Live regarding the partial birth abortion manual that was issued by the U.S. Supreme Court on April 18th. It's published by Gonzalez v. Carhart, the Partial Birth Abortion Manual, and it explains how to perform a new procedure. It's called a naval PBA, naval partial birth abortion, that you can kill the baby by partial birth abortion, and you could partially deliver the baby, just stop 4 inches shorter than April 17th. So, and Ann just learned about our website, KGOV, KGOV.com. And right at the very top, there's an offer to help if you'd like to help with our open letter that we will be publishing to Dr. James Dobson. We have now received quotes from the Colorado Springs Telegraph Gazette and internet advertising on the sites we want to advertise this open letter on. And so, Lord willing, over the next 10 days or so, we'll finally place these ads. And if you'd like to help, you can. You could just go to our website, KGOV, KGOV.com, or you could call us at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So anyway, these are Christian pro-lifers, supposedly, who, for the sake of the party, would support a child killer, even a rabid child killer. So, okay, so is that surprising? When somebody calls me and says, Bob, so-and-so is a true pro-life candidate, I don't believe them. I don't believe them, and the candidate has to prove it to me on their website, in writing, in a commitment, in a pledge. They have to prove it. When somebody tells you this candidate is a true pro-lifer, say, is he a legal positivist? Would he support a law, or would he support a candidate who says, and then you could kill the baby? Vote for me, and then you could kill the baby if you meet these few simple requirements. In England, the government has given permission to a doctor to perform a genetic screening for a couple so that he could find their embryos and screen out ones that have a particular disease, an ailment. And so he was asked by the media, what if the parents asked you to screen out an embryo, kill an embryo, if it had the hair color that he didn't like? Certain hair color the parents didn't like. Tomorrow's show, Lord willing, I'll tell you what his answer was. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a beautiful school. Maranatha.